This show is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Getting America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
Joining me now here in Washington to discuss the escalating war of words between Clinton and Trump is one of Trump's big supporters, potential running mate, and former House Speaker Newt Gingrich. Mr. Speaker, welcome back to Fox News.
Good to be back.
Clinton, as we just pointed out in the last segment, went after Trump's temperament this week, saying that he's unfit to be president. And one of the things that Trump did this week was repeatedly accuse the judge who's handling two Trump University fraud lawsuit cases of bias. Here he is.
We're building a wall. He's a Mexican. We're building a wall between here and Mexico. The answer is, he is giving us very unfair rulings. Rulings that people can't even believe.
Are you comfortable with a potential president attacking a federal judge for his heritage?
No. This is one of the worst mistakes Trump has made. And I think it's inexcusable. He has every right to criticize a judge. And he has every right to say certain decisions aren't right. And his attorneys can file to move the venue from the judge. But first of all, this judge was born in Indiana. He is an American, period. When you come to America, you get to become an American. And Trump, who has grandparents who came to the U.S., should understand this as much as anybody. Second, to characterize, you know, if a liberal were to attack Justice Clarence Thomas on the grounds that he's black, we would all go crazy. All, every conservative would say it was wrong, and it was racism. And Trump has got to, I think, move to a new level. This is no longer the primaries. He's no longer an interesting contender. He is now the potential leader of the United States, and he's got to move his game up to the level of being a potential leader.
Do you consider what this he did here racism?
I think that it was a mistake. I think that I hope it was sloppiness. He says on other occasions that he has many Mexican friends, etc. But that's irrelevant. This judge is not Mexican. This judge is an American citizen and deserves to be treated. Now, that means he can attack him as a judge and say he's a liberal and he's against me and he's doing things I don't agree with. And he has lawyers who are supposed to be doing that. If it's a good case, they should file to change the venue.
Exactly. I think it's well done. I was really impressed with Newt Gingrich's command of the situation. And here he is. I mean, you know, he's got to have some sensitivity because, as Chris Wallace said, you know, Scott, he's on Donald Trump's short list as potential, you know, VP candidates or maybe, you know, a cabinet position in that. Wow, I mean, this is a huge misstep. In fact, if you remember last Friday when Coach brought something up that he was part of La Raza, and I said, well, you know, I didn't read that in anything. What I did find out that he is part of a group. It is a group of Hispanic judges, you know, that it's a networking group is what it amounts to. And, you know, that it has nothing to do with La Raza. I think that what happens, there is some, it's the National Council of La Raza you know, was being suggested. But he, as a member of La Raza Lawyers of California, a.k.a. the Latino Bar Association of California, so it's one of those networking areas. It's not anything to do with La Raza. I think, you know, historically, when you read about what's been going on, and that has been that the decisions that the judge Gonzalo Curiel has made have not, excuse me, consistently been on Trump's side. And so as we've learned and as we understand with Trump is that if things don't go his way, he's going to come after you. And he picked no bones about this, but I agree with Newt Gingrich. I mean, this is what you have attorneys for. So that you keep yourself out of the fray and you don't have to comment on all these things. You know, let your handlers do this. But, you know, it's, you know, at a time when you really want Donald Trump, you know, to kind of pull everybody together, you know, you get these missteps. And, you know, I don't know how many more of these he can do. This is Bill Martinez. We're live. It's 5 minutes after the top of the hour. Stay with us, America. We've got more coming up.
Hi, this is Ron Paul. I'm a former 22-year congressman and Republican presidential candidate. I'm here to tell you about something that just might save your lives. You never know when there will be another Katrina, an economic collapse, or a serious drought. We should all have a little food storage that will carry us through tough times. I'm going to tell you about a great way to do that. A U.S. company named Harvest Right has a kitchen appliance that can help you be prepared. It's a home freeze dryer. With the product, you can preserve the food your family loves. And the best part is, the food will last 25 years and still taste great. I've tried it, and it's amazing. With a home freeze dryer from Harvest Right, you can literally freeze dry anything you eat, even things like ice cream. To learn more, call Harvest Right today at 800-594-4635 or go to harvestright.com. That's 800-594-4635 or harvestright.com.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it. Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. Stop. Hey, what's that sound?
Well, hello, America. Back with you 6 minutes after the top of the hour. I'm Bill Martinez. For more information on the show, BillMartinezLive.com. That's where you want to go. Anyone drop me an email and have a chance to win a free DVD Blu-ray of the movie The Young Messiah, then send me an email, bill at billmartinezlive.com. Say, hey, Martinez, put me in the running. I want a copy. I want to take advantage of this generous free offer that you're sending our way. Make sure you include your address as well. We're going to think positive, and we'll get that off to you. So we got a bunch of DVDs to give away, and hey, why not? Let's make sure your household has a free copy of The Young Messiah. Bill Salas is with us right now. He's a radio host, conference speaker, and the best-selling author of Psalm 83, The Missing Prophecy Revealed, How Israel Becomes the Next Superpower. His latest book is titled Nuclear Showdown in Iran, Revealing the Ancient Prophecy of Elam. Bill's website is Prophecy Depot, like Home Depot, prophecydepot.com. Bill Salas, always good to have you with us. How are you doing, sir?
Doing great, Bill. Thanks for having me back on your program.
Hey, always good to have you here, buddy. First of all, before we get deep in this, we were saddened with the news of the passing of Jen Crouch over the weekend.
Yes, that was sad. Yeah. On May 31st, I think it was, she passed away with a stroke, and now she's with her husband, Dr. Paul Crouch, who I think just a couple years back went also to be with the Lord as well. So, yeah, they were quite instrumental in the success of television evangelism with the biggest TBN, Trinity Broadcasting Network, TV program in the world. So, yeah, it was sad to see that happen. But, you know, we all have to face that, don't we, Bill?
Yeah, without a doubt. You know, in fact, I just met with somebody who knows the Crouch family very well. We were just talking about Jan, and I knew that she had been ill. That there was some, then she had a massive heart attack. But I was sad to hear the news. But you know, this country, this world has been greatly blessed by that ministry. I know you have as well, Bill. Particularly, this is why I wanted you to, talk about Jan, because she was quite the force. I mean, you know, if anything, she was just guilty of loving Jesus as much as you could, I guess, you know.
Yeah, and I have been on that Praise the Lord program many times. They actually implemented an End Times Praise TV show. So in the last few years, Jonathan Kahn, myself, Perry Stone, several others have been on the show because Paul Crouch, it was sort of he called it his cup of tea to start getting Bible prophecy more involved on their program. So, it was interesting to see that shift they've made over the last, 4 or 5 years to incorporate that more into the TBN programming.
Right. Well, and some people still are reticent to get involved with Bible prophecy. For some reason, they feel maybe it's too ethereal or whatever. But there's a reason for Bible prophecy, and not only does it authenticate that there is a God, substantiates time and time again that like no other God, who knows the beginning from the end, who tells us what's going to happen, and he tells this so that we would be agents of peace. That we would not be running around helter-skelter. So when we see what's happening in the world today, It's no big surprise. God's not surprised. He's not like all of a sudden he wakes up in heaven one day and says, what the heck are those crazy Jews up to now?
Yeah, oy vey, what's going on, right? Now he knows from the beginning.
I'm just saying that only if I could loosely paraphrase God for just a moment with not getting hit with a bolt of lightning, you know. But I'm sure he has a sense of humor.
You make a good point, Bill, because about a third of the Bible is devoted toward biblical prophecy, and you were basically quoting Isaiah 46, verses 9 and 10, which says, I am God, there is no other. I am God, there's none like me, declaring the end from the beginning, things that have not yet come. See, so you're right. That is how he authenticates his sovereign office as the Lord. So, you know, and we have prophecies that we're looking at these days that seem like they're about to find fulfillment, and one of them is concerns with biblical wars taking place in the Middle East. And
exactly.
You know, on May 30th of this year, just recently, just 5 days before the Paris Peace Summit, with the Mideast peace scenario that Paris is trying to put together, supported by Egypt, Saudi Arabia, America, and others, Israel swears in a new defense minister who is one of the most right-wing hawkish defense ministers of their time. And so we've got an interesting development going on in Israel right now.
Mm-hmm. Well, and this has been kind of the dynamic tension, you know, within Israel itself, is that, you know, when do you, you know, make that move, you know, in terms of being more hawkish or less hawkish? You know, you've tried to, you know, there's been that portion of the of the constituency that says, look, let's let this let the international community play it out. And meanwhile, you have Benjamin Netanyahu and the other hawks going, look, we can only wait so long, because you've got Iran that's been basically given a nuclear blessing here. And, you know, when they say they want you eradicated, I don't know how there's any confusion about what they're saying.
Right. Israel is dealing with a explosive Middle East environment, more explosive than ever before. They're more isolated than ever before. Mm-hmm. And they have the leadership in place now that really could facilitate, if they were drawn into or led into a war, they've got that in place. And when, you know, they're saying that this is the most right-wing government in Israel's history. And you can compare it back to the time of Joshua, about 1400 BC, when he and Caleb were the administrators of that time, when they went in and conquered the land of Canaan, or the time of Gideon around 11 BC, when he went in and took out the Midianites, and David about 1000 BC. So, you know, we're looking at the type of leadership that, when Israel has been involved in wars historically, that had to be in place, not liberal leaderships like King Zedekiah around 586 BC was captured by the Babylonians, where they have the liberal leadership. And Israel had liberal leadership prior to Netanyahu, but Netanyahu has now shored up a very strong team. And, you know, when he put this Avigdor Lieberman into the, appointed him as the defense minister, global shockwaves went out, because, like I said, it's right on the threshold of this Paris peace talks just days before. You know, for instance, the former prime minister, Ehud Barak, former defense minister, also came out and said immediately that this scenario, he told us on a local channel TV show in Israel, he said, now we've been infected by the seeds of fascism. This is how he felt about this. And what has happened is a hostile takeover of the Israeli government by dangerous elements, and it's just the beginning. This is what a former Israeli prime minister has said. And then other headlines that came out is, you know, Lieberman as defense minister, Israel should now head for the bomb shelters. And then Egypt came out and said, and Egypt's been supportive of the peace talks coming up in Paris. Egyptians are furious over Israel's political bazaar at the expense of this peace process. And, you know, I can read a whole short of headlines, but they're all showing, even the U.S. State Department spokesman Mark Toner weighed in, and shortly thereafter on May 26th, and this was a Newsweek headline, U.S. says Lieberman's appointment raises serious questions about Israel's direction. So, see, you know, we're looking at something going on that is, we can't just brush underneath the carpet, because even Lieberman, who he's known for his fiery rhetoric and bellicose public statements dealing with Palestinians and Iranians and things like that, then people need to understand this guy is pretty powerful.
Mm. Yeah, and it really puts a signal out to Israel's neighbors, without a doubt, and that's what you're hearing right now. And we're going to get into it a little bit deeper. We're going to drill down a little bit deeper with Bill Salas author of the book Psalm 83, The Missing Prophecy, revealed his latest book, Nuclear Showdown in Iran, revealing the ancient prophecy of Elam. Bill Salas, more with him right after the break. Stay with us, America. It's just about 15 minutes after the top of the hour. This is Bill Martinez. We're live.
Are you ready to leave your corporate job behind and be your own boss? Have you ever dreamed of owning a business? Do you have $50,000 or more sitting around in a 401k? If you answered yes, it's time to invest in yourself by buying or starting a business or franchise. IRS code allows you to use money in a 401k to invest in a business with absolutely no penalties or taxes. At Guidant Financial, we've helped more than 11,000 entrepreneurs invest $3 billion in retirement assets into the small businesses and franchises of their dreams. So if you've got $50,000 or more in a 401k and you're looking for a way to start a business, call Guidant Financial now for free information and to learn more. Operators are standing by for your call. 800-808-5181. 800-808-5181. 800-808-5181. That's 800-808-5181.
Are you tired of commuting to a job that makes someone else rich, working harder than ever, but getting nowhere? Do you hate spending hundreds of dollars every week on daycare, having someone else raise your children? With our opportunities, you can start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss, work from home, and live a happier life. At Be the Boss Network, you'll find hundreds of work-from-home opportunities that you can literally start today and be earning money as soon as next week. Go to freedom106.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss. Get out of the rat race. Work from home. Go to freedom106.com right now and change your life today. That's freedom, the number 106.com. Go to freedom106.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You be the boss. Go to freedom106.com.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the Mineral Doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, but I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
Dangerous blood clot device alert. If you or a loved one had an IVC filter placed to prevent blood clots from traveling to your heart or lungs and suffered an injury, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. The FDA warns that IVC filters may cause serious complications, such as heart or lung damage, internal bleeding, and even death. These dangerous blood clot devices can break, and the metal fragments can travel to your heart or lungs, causing serious injuries. If you or a loved one suffered organ damage or other injuries from an IVC filter, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Act now. Time is limited to file a claim. For a free consultation and free information, call Injury Help Desk at 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507.
This is an advertisement. Paid non-attorney spokesperson. InjuryHelpDesk.com is responsible for this advertisement. Principal office, Las Vegas, Nevada.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
I love the colorful clothes you wear.
You're listening to Bill Martinez live.
I'm picking up.
And I hope you're taking notes. Let me tell you, we got Bill Salas with us. Yes, prophecy expert, author of the book Psalm 83. Also his latest book, Nuclear Showdown in Iran, revealing the ancient prophecy of Elam. You can go to his website for all the information that you need. Prophecy Depot, like Home Depot, prophecydepot.com. And our topic is Israel preparing for war soon? Well, Bill, you were telling us more about this new entry into the Netanyahu administration. Lieberman is a fiery sort, and some have said this guy's kind of like, you know, the Donald Trump version for Israel.
Yeah, he is, you know, and when he talked about, he's known for his bellicose public statements, and let me tell you a few of these. He's weighed in on all the important topics to Israel. For instance, with the Palestinians, here's a headline in 2015, Lieberman, disloyal, his name is Avigdor Lieberman for your listeners, as the new defense minister. Disloyal Arab Israeli should be beheaded. Now, that's a pretty big headline. Here's what it says. Anyone who's with us should be given everything, meaning the Arab Israelis in Israel, up to half the kingdom. Anyone who's against us, there's nothing to do. We should just raise an axe to cut off his head. Otherwise, we Jews won't survive. See, this is not politically correct type of language. And then when it comes to, like, Syria, you know, he said comments like, we will destroy Damascus if Hezbollah attacks northern Israel. And if Lieberman says against the president of Syria, Assad, you know, if we have a war with you, it will end your regime. You know, and then he gets into Iran, and he's made comments, because this is where everybody's real concerned. That's the elephant in the room, is what's going on with Iran's nuclear program. Yeah, and he's made comments on that as well. And here's what he said about the way Netanyahu's handled the Iranian scenario. Because, you know, Netanyahu's made that the big deal for his time, and it is.
It's, right,
he said,
exactly.
Biggest existential threat to Israel's history. But he says, Netanyahu's only proven how isolated we are as a country. He has been obsessed with the Iranian nuclear deal, but it's too much for him to handle. To handle this issue, you need to be creative, determined. You have to know how to make hard decisions. Netanyahu has none of these things. See, this is what Lieberman has said about his own prime minister, who's now appointed him as the defense minister. Now, interestingly, I'm going to say this, and then we might want to swing off into Iran a little bit, but Lieberman has sworn to a vow of silence. So you're not going to be hearing any more bellicose statements out of him until the Rosh Hashanah, their Feast of Trumpets in October, because he wants to assess the urgent matters that he's now going to face. And what it means by a vow of silence means he's not going to do any public interviews. So what is in store here has got me at the edge of my seat, following these ancient biblical prophecies with Israel and Iran and Israel and Syria and all this stuff. It's real critical to keep an eye on what's going on over there in Israel right now.
Exactly. You wonder if he's the missing piece, if he's that or the next puzzle piece in this process that's being revealed, you know, before our eyes here. Also, kind of interesting, too, is, you know, it's one thing when you're on the outside and you can make these bellicose statements. But when you get on the inside, and you really find out what is going on and you really understand, you know, some of the things that are on a need to know basis. And I would say in much the same way that Donald Trump and even Barack Obama, before he became president, remember, he made a lot of bellicose statements. Then he got in and found out what it was all about. And, you know, it wasn't quite as expedient as he thought, for example, like closing Gitmo that he thought early on he could do. You know, reality is a great neutralizer. And I'm sure for Lieberman, he's probably realizing a little bit more. And also that Benjamin Netanyahu, he is a politician. And he's a measured man. He's a determined man, but he's measured. I mean, he's not going to fly off the handle. I think this is what makes him an exceptional leader, and why even some people here in the United States would trade Netanyahu for one Barack Obama in a heartbeat.
Yeah, and the thing is, Israel has rejected the recent peace talks that were conducted in France, which were basically a flop on June 3rd. Mm. Paris was trying to host this summit. John Kerry went, and, you know, many world leaders showed up, and they basically agreed to reconvene. But Israel's rejected that because it was based on the Arab Peace Initiative, which has always been a no deal for Israel. And
it was a non-starter to begin with. I mean, you're sitting there. I mean, talk about the wrong gospel, wrong church. I mean, you're just selling the wrong program. It's just not going to happen. They're not going to, you know, make themselves vulnerable. Why would they do that?
Yeah, and Egypt and Saudi Arabia, who want to be friends with Israel now, who are really sponsoring this Arab Peace Initiative, said we'd even modify some of the terms. Remember, they want Israel to go perhaps attack Iran because, you know, they're not interested in Iran's nuclear program and the $150 billion Iran's getting now and this sort of thing. So, and Israel also is watching the U.S. elections closely because, you know, Donald Trump has made statements like, he would really like to put that Arab-Israeli deal together. He said, I'd really like to do that. And he said he will acknowledge Jerusalem as the capital of the Jewish state, and he would move the U.S. embassy to Jerusalem. And he's come out against this Iranian deal, saying it's a bad, suspicious deal.
Right.
And,
exactly.
So Israel is all eyes and ears on what's Donald Trump all about right now. So we've got all these political dynamics going on, both internally, domestically, and geopolitically around the world right now.
Well, even though you got a host of Arabs surrounding Israel and, you know, for varying reasons, either wanting to be for or against, I mean, and you got this Paris Treaty that they're looking at, I mean, you know, Netanyahu and the Israelis got to understand is a non-starter anyway, because, oh, yeah, you got the Palestinians who, you know, their level of negotiation is they want 100% or nothing.
Yeah, and they're really, in the scheme of things, when you got Iran's nuclear program is the elephant in the room, the Palestinian-Israeli conflict's more like a wasp on the wall. Yes, they buzzes around, but it doesn't pack much sting for them. Their main concern is that, you know, is Iran going to send a nuclear weapon their way and, you know, take out their nation, because it's a matter of survival for them.
Exactly, and that's what your book, Nuclear Showdown in Iran, was all about, Bill. So let's unfold this. We've got about 4 minutes here to play with.
Okay. Well, you know, it's interesting because Israel's taking very seriously the threat of Iran. That money they're getting is already, they're giving $70 million to Palestinian Islamic Jihad to antagonize Israel. Iranian commanders have come out recently and said, we can destroy Israel in under 8 minutes. They've stepped up their intercontinental ballistic missiles testing like never before. Russia is sending them one of the state-of-the-art missile defense systems by the end of this year's S-300 missile defense system, which would be very prohibitive for Israel to attack Iran should they want to preempt a strike.
Right.
So, you know, the question is really, is Iran, is Israel about to strike Iran preemptively? You know, they have a history of striking nuclear facilities in the region. They did this in Iraq in 1981, I believe it was, and they did it in Syria in 2007. And it's an interesting scenario that actually a former guest of yours, Bill Koenig, who's a White House correspondent, and myself, we had breakfast together with Yoram Edinger. And this was back in December of 2013. Now, Yoram Edinger was the counsel general of Israel to the southwestern states and ambassador in charge of Israel's congressional relationships in Washington. And so we asked him, he said, hey, is Israel going to strike Iran's nuclear program? And we asked this question back in 2013. And you know, what he told us is that Prime Minister Netanyahu has the similar difficult decision that his predecessor Menachem Begin had to make at the time of the Iraq's nuclear reactor. Now, Menachem Begin was back in 1977 to 1983. Mm-hmm. And he, at that time, you had the Western world was supporting Saddam Hussein, if you can believe that, because Saddam Hussein was in a war with Iraq against Iran. And Iran, we used to support the Iran when the Shah was in power, but in 1979, the Shah was taken out of power, and Khomeini was the new leader. So now we're all supporting that madman, Saddam Hussein. And they were in this war of attrition, and most of the West had previously, you know, gotten involved now supporting Saddam Hussein. So on the eve of the bombing of this Iraqi nuclear facility in Osirak, Prime Minister Begin put all his elite officers and confidence into a closed-door meeting concerning the program, and he asked them, you know, what is your best intelligence on the results and repercussions of a strike on the Osirak nuclear reactor in Iraq? And this is where it got really interesting for Bill and I. The responses he received were overwhelmingly from his Mossad and IDF that this would be create a rupture with the USA that may not heal. It would bring the entire world, Muslim world, against us. It would, the Western world against us, and this sort of thing. And so he thanked them all and what he said to them. But what is, he asked them this question, what is the consequence of a non-action? And he answered his question. He said it would be a nuclear warhead hitting Israel, and therefore we will strike Osirak.
Exactly.
The next day. So this is the concern. This is the same kind of conversations I would speculate that that Netanyahu and Lieberman are having right now.
Exactly. And it's a tough position that the Prime Minister finds himself in, but he is focused. He's laser focused to protect Israel at all costs. So we'll stay on top of it. Bill Salas, thank you so much for the update and keeping us informed. Don't forget, ladies and gentlemen, you can go to his website, prophecydepot.com. Bill Salas on Bill Martinez Live. Thank you, Bill.
Are you married? Do you and your husband both have term life insurance? If you both don't, you should. You have a lot to protect. Call now, get a free quote for your husband, and while you're at it, get a quote for yourself too. because you both need term life insurance. Call now. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164. Rates are at all-time lows. We'll shop over 30 top-rated companies to get you the best possible rates. Term life insurance, it's the perfect way to protect the quality of your family's lifestyle. You and your husband both need term life insurance, so call now for a free quote for the both of you. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164.
Are you worried about your mom or dad living alone in their house? Hi, I'm Joan London. Listen, I know how difficult it is to find senior care for someone you love. That's why I recommend a free service called A Place for Mom. They are the nation's largest senior living referral service. Call A Place for Mom today.
To receive free information on senior living communities in your area, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-704-6182.
A Place for Mom offers free one-on-one advice from local advisors and a personalized list of senior living communities you can visit. If you have questions about senior care for your mom or dad, there's a place for answers, A Place for Mom.
Call A Place for Mom in the next 10 minutes to get your free ebook on financing senior care as well as free information on senior living communities in your area. Call 1-800-704-6182. That's 1-800-704-6182.
Imagine your life 5 years from now. Are you on the path you want to be on? It's time to take control of your future by getting a world-class education from one of the nation's top universities. Arizona State University is now offering over 100 top-tier degree programs 100% online. It's the exact same degree our on-campus students receive, but you can learn from anywhere in the country on your own schedule. For information, call 1-800-939-9634. Learn from ASU's world-renowned faculty and use ASU's global recognition to improve your visibility, professional network, and gain real-world experience you can start using today. The Wall Street Journal ranked ASU fifth in the nation for producing the best qualified graduates. Now discover how ASU Online can stand out on your resume and help separate you from the competition. We're ready to help you learn to thrive in your life, in your career, and beyond. To learn more about ASU Online Degrees, call 1-800-939-9634. That's 1-800-939-9634.
Your program, your calls, your opinions. Bill Martinez, live. Join us online at BillMartinezLive.com.
Hey, whether it's online or 280-some affiliates or via shortwave around the world out of WWCR in Nashville, Tennessee, we welcome you all to Bill Martinez Live. Great to have you along with us. With us right now is Jenna Maul, Deputy Director of the United States Justice Action Network. Jenna, welcome to Bill Martinez Live. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing well. How are you?
Hey, doing wonderful. Thank you so much for coming on to talk about, the conversation is, ramping up more and more as it should regarding justice reform. And we want to make sure that as comprehensive as an issue as this is and a needed conversation, that we're really careful about the facts here, right?
Absolutely. And you know what? Senator Tom Cotton gave a speech the week before last, and he highlighted, I think, some very important issues. We absolutely should be concerned about violent crime. We absolutely should be concerned about keeping our streets safe. But here's our problem. Mm-hmm. Our current federal correction system costs $8 billion of taxpayer money every single year. And half of all inmates that come out get rearrested. It's not working. Mm-hmm. Plain and simple, the status quo is not working, and we've got to be doing better. And that's where we diverge from Tom Cotton.
Well, and that's a good point right there, and just in terms of a broad brush, that there should be accountability. I've maintained that we the people should expect, I call it a return on investment. And, you know, it's kind of a free market term, but, you know, for all that money, what are we doing here? Are we just, are we doing a better job at creating more sophisticated criminals and hardly touching the recidivism rate? So we're just kind of, you know, glossing this thing over as opposed to saying, look, we're spending a lot of money here. And people should be better, not worse, right?
You know, you're absolutely right. And I think the phrase that you used is the perfect one, getting our money's worth. That's what we should get from our prison system, just like every other agency that we, the taxpayers, pay for. And, you know, the states have really showed us the way on this. Like usual, the states are doing the right thing, and the federal government should be looking to them. Texas and Georgia and Utah and South Carolina, all of these states reformed their prison systems to get the maximum benefit, maximum public safety benefit from every single dollar that will be put into their system.
Well, Jenna, give us some examples of what these states are doing, because the people need to be aware of this, because, you know, in a I guess in a culture and what our federal government has become, I call it the government of everything. It has overstretched itself, and it thinks that this kind of one-size-fits-all mentality that comes out of D.C., it just doesn't fit. I mean, the beauty of the states and the way our founders designed this republic to operate, these are great laboratories, and we're getting some great information, but if we're going to ignore those results, then the rest of us are going to pay a huge price, not to mention the criminals. And those that we're trying to help, right?
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. You know, the common theme across all the states that have worked on this issue is accountability. They decided to finally hold these offenders accountable for the crimes that they were committing. And the tricky thing here is that prison is actually one of the easiest things to do. You know, you go in there, three hots and a cot, there's not much else you have to do. That's what a lot of offenders would pick if we gave them the choice. Mm-hmm. And so what Texas did and what Utah did and what South Carolina did and dozens of other states is they said, you know what, instead of prison, we're going to make you get a job and we're going to make you go to weekly meetings. We're going to make you get drug treatment or we're going to make you pay your fees and your fines. And sometimes we're going to put you in prison and then make you do all that stuff. And that's where to drive down crime rates and recidivism rates in these states.
Well, the other thing, too, Jenna, that I've been reading about is that in some of these states, they've realized how important the core family still plays, the role that it plays. That, you know, we have to be careful. Yes, they're incarcerated. They're away from the family. But we still need to kind of promote that family unit because where that seems to be stronger, that seems to have an effect on the recidivism rate as well. Is that what you're finding?
Yeah, that's absolutely true. And a lot of states are playing with, you know, kind of reentry programming and some other things that they can do when people come out of prison to put them back in their homes and make them prosperous and law-abiding citizens that are providing for themselves and their families. Mm-hmm. And you know what? That means that not only are they going to stop committing crimes, but it also means that they're not going to be in our social welfare system either. The taxpayers are saving even more money. Communities are even safer. You know, one state, Texas, when they turn around their system, they saved $2 billion already, and they're close to saving $3 billion. So I think that's something the federal government really needs to start looking at and really start considering.
Well, speaking of the federal government, Senator Cotton addressed, you know, mandatory minimums for a slew of federal crimes. What's your position on his statement there?
I understand, you know, his cautiousness around this issue, and I think it's important to be cautious. Just like you said at the top of the interview, we have to be really careful when we're dealing with this issue. But the authors of this legislation have really walked a fine line. Number one, all violent, all serious, all repeat offenders are going to continue to have very lengthy sentences in federal prison. Nothing is changing there. For drug offenders, and these are going to be drug offenders who didn't use a gun, drug offenders who are low-level, you know, kind of maybe street dealers, maybe mules, not the guys getting rich off of this problem. They're going to have, instead of a 20-year mandatory minimum sentence, a 15-year mandatory minimum sentence. So it's a minor adjustment. And what that 5 years means is two things. One, we'll be saving some money, you know, because after 15 years, we're not going to get any more public safety benefit from that increased marginal cost. So taxpayers will save some money. Number two, we can focus those people on reentry and getting them into the communities in a safe and effective way, getting them back to work, getting them back with their families, whatever it is that their individual case needs. And so the authors of this legislation have walked that line to make sure we're incarcerating serious and violent offenders for a very long period of time and giving people who earn a second chance, and they have to earn it, mm-hmm. a chance to get out and have a law-abiding life.
Well, even when you're still talking 15 years, that's a lot of time. And I'm sure they're looking at this across the board in terms of, like you say, if you're a serious repeat offender, you know, you're in. I mean, that's all. You know, you've got a lifetime pass. There's just not a whole lot we can do for you. But those that are a lower level, that I would think that's the low-lying fruit that really starts to demonstrate some return on investment and, some turnaround here, don't you say?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. These are the people that the states have shown us can go back home safely. They can go back to work safely. That we, the taxpayers, don't have to be paying to lock them up. You know, it costs about $80 a day to incarcerate someone in the federal system. If they can safely be at home, I personally would rather save that $80.
Exactly, right. Well, not to mention the fact of what it could mean, you know, for the family unit and holding the family unit together. I mean, there's research that would indicate that, you know, we've got to have a higher regard for the significance of the family unit.
Yeah, you know, I think the estimate is about 2.7 million children have a parent behind bars right now. And what that means, as you know, is that family unit has been damaged. And so I think that we have a responsibility to, after we punish people for their crimes, give them the chance to go back to their families and earn the chance to build that back up again.
Yes. Well, you also state that you got to be specific about offenders. And this is what we're touching on here right now. You say approximately 8% of the federal prison population consists of individuals who were sent to federal prison for a violent offense. 48% of drug offenders in federal prison and 1/3 of all offenders had little or no prior criminal history. So sometimes you got to be careful when you generalize and you look at this. Yes, we want to do something about crime. We want to, you know, make our home, our neighborhoods, safe again and get a good return on investment here. But we need to, you know, this is an opportunity for us to be a lot wiser and more strategic about this specific issue, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, that was one of the things that Senator Cotton said. And again, I certainly understand his concerns. But when you say that everyone in prison is violent, I think that really belies the issue. And honestly, between us, I think it's a little sensitive to crime victims to characterize all crime as the same.
Exactly.
And so I think one of the things, one of the things that we have to do is make sure that we're saying, if you're a violent prisoner, we're going to treat you one way. If you've earned a second chance, we're going to recognize that as well.
Exactly. Jenna Mall, Deputy Director of USJAN. Jenna, thank you so much for being with us. Good stuff here. Keep us surprised of what's going on, and we'll keep talking about it and make sure people are more well aware of what's going on and the potential benefit as well.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com. And an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Hi, I'm Joan London. When I needed to find senior care for my mom, I really struggled to find the right fit until I found an advisor, someone who had been through this before. That's why I recommend A Place for Mom, the nation's largest senior living referral service. They have experts who will help you ask the right questions and find the right place. Call A Place for Mom today.
To speak with a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-437-5914. That's 1-800-437-5914.
A Place for Mom has helped over 200,000 families find the right senior care for their parents, from assisted living to independent living, even Alzheimer's care, and have local advisors that can help explain your options at no cost to you.
To speak with a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-437-5914. That's 1-800-437-5914.
Call today.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson, Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas, is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
I'm Nick Sobolewski, a SelectQuote agent with a true story that could save you hundreds of dollars a year. A woman named Linda just called. Her husband, Ray, has a $300,000 group life insurance policy, but is changing jobs and can't take it with him. Well, I impartially shot the highly rated term life insurance companies we represent and found Ray, who is 41 and takes medication to control his cholesterol, a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $26 a month. That's almost twice the coverage for less than half of what he had paid. If SelectQuote hasn't shopped for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 1-800-403-4885. That's 1-800-403-4885. 1-800-403-4885. Or go to SelectQuote.com. We shop. You save. Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health issue and company and other factors. Not available in all states.
Cancer categorizes over 100 diseases. Though we don't diagnose, treat, or cure cancer, Bill Martinez Live is offering Clemson University's study where there was up to a 95% reduction in cancerous cells when exposed to a plant-derived mineral supplement. If you or a loved one are searching for answers to this horrifying disease, come to BillMartinezLive.com, Youngevity, or call 855-305-8326. We'll email you a copy for free. That's 855-305-8326.
You've reached Bill Martinez Live. Bill Martinez Live.
Hey, just the way you like me, live. Good to have you along with us, America. 14 before the top of the hour. I am Bill Martinez. Dr. Keith Eichel is with us right now, co-founder of the Leaders Lyceum Leadership Development Institute, specializing in developing leaders for effectiveness in all areas of their life. A whole person approach. Novel, huh? Well, for the past decade, Keith's research interests have been focused on adult development and leadership effectiveness, incorporating all aspects of the person, work, family, and the lives into the leader's development journey. As well, Dr. Keith Eichel, welcome to Bill Martinez Live. How are you?
Thank you, Bill. I'm doing great. How about you?
Hey, doing wonderful. Thank you for coming on. You know, we've been saying on this show that, you know, right now in the this election process, this 2016 election process, you've got the presumptive nominee and one Donald Trump. Hillary is well on her way, and though she's being challenged by Bernie Sanders, and we can talk about all three, I have been cautioning our audience to say, look, they're applying for a job. I mean, we're the bosses here. We're on the other side of the desk. And we need to evaluate and make sure we understand what these candidates have to offer, just like we would if we were, the head of a company and, hiring a new employee into the operation here.
I love that, Bill. And I think it's an important task that we have ahead of us. We think about leadership, and just so you know, our experience is, and we've got a book coming out in June called The Map.
Uh-huh.
And in the map, we detail out how do we grow as leaders and in ways that make us more effective in leading ourselves and others. But the interesting thing that comes out of this is when we understand how we grow ourselves, we're able to understand how to evaluate those leaders that are in front of us.
Mm-hmm.
And
the ways that we think about evaluating leaders are very often in their kind of what knowledge, skills, and abilities do they bring to the table? What's their expertise in? And in the political arena, I feel like we can evaluate that in terms of the ideology and positions on policies and problems that we're facing. So that's one way to evaluate the effectiveness of the leader is, do they know what they're talking about?
Right.
And are they good at what they're doing? But another way to evaluate them is really their maturity, their leadership maturity. And maturity is a knowable, measurable, learnable progression that we go through over the course of our lives, where as we grow, we continue to understand ourselves, others, and our situations in increasingly complex and integrated ways. And I think the thing that has raised questions in so many people's mind about this particular election is we're getting such an oversimplified message that I think a lot of people kind of equate this to a middle school playground battle in some ways.
Yeah, oh, no doubt. I mean, to the point that you even have, like, Anderson Cooper saying, well, you sound like a five-year-old here. And, you know, there's been those kind of responses where, you know, to your point, that are very juvenile. But, you know, I think one of the things that are missing here is that I'm not sure America is stopping to say, look at outside of ourselves, looking at, you know, the global picture that we're in, you know, domestically, around the world. What type of leader do we really need? The opportunity is to make sure that we pick a round peg for a round hole job here. We knew with President Obama, for example, you know, the public decided, hey, they wanted something else, and they really kind of force fit him into something that he wasn't, though he told us very clearly who he was. But I think, you know, like anything, experience defines preference. We should have learned a lot in these last 8 years about what kind of president we need and what kind of president the world needs, you know, for a time such as this. And I'm wondering if we're pausing to consider that, because you know, I think we have to think in terms of where we are, you know, how vulnerable we are militarily, that could enter into the situation. Immigration, huge economy, still number one, but we've got to find people with that skill set that can respond to the needs of this country.
Exactly. I mean, when we think about what kind of leaders are most effective, in the book, we detail out these different levels, and we talk about level four and level five leaders who really understand who they are and what they bring from the inside out. Values-driven, self-authored, they've determined who they are, and level five leaders really are really rare in the population. But they seem to rise to the occasion when most needed. I mean, you think about Martin Luther King, or you think about Abraham Lincoln, Mandela, Gandhi. You get these leaders that rise up that tend to focus on what holds us together rather than what keeps us apart. And the lower level leaders, what we call level two and level three leaders, which level two, all of us kind of as children lock into a level two understanding of the world when we're about 12 years old. And about 5 to 8% of the highly educated adult professional population never really grows beyond that understanding, even though they can be very successful. And it's a very black and white, either or, win-lose sort of mentality where I'm really focused on me winning. So as we look at this, I get the appeal of the simple message, of the clear and simple message. But I think what a lot of people are asking themselves right now is there more than that there? Is there someone who can really bring a groundedness in values and what they're about to the table?
I mean, for me, what I've been looking for is somebody who can articulate a vision. It's almost like we haven't had a vision that we could hang on to since Kennedy said, hey, we're going to be the first country that lands on the moon. I mean, we all rallied around that. And before that, it was, you know, we had to recover from the attack of Pearl Harbor. And so we rose up to the challenge and started turning out ships in rapid form, where before it would take years. We were starting to turn them out in months because there was an immediate need to do something about, you know, about shipbuilding. And so, you know, we rose to the occasion. But here we are looking out over this next, let's just say the next couple of years. What is America going to be faced with? And is there an articulated vision that the people can rally behind besides just a bumper sticker rally that says, change we can believe in? There has to be more than the bumper sticker, you know, thickness and reality of it. There has to be something that is discernible that people can buy into, don't you think?
Absolutely, I think that. And those are the leaders that we tend to gravitate to in every other aspect of our lives. But it is interesting that that we've got this situation right now where somehow that judgment that we normally have is being shelved to some degree, it appears to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what so many of us want to know is there more here than this? Is there a vision here?
Yes.
And the age and experience and success of both of the front runners, you would think that's there. Based on what they've accomplished, but boy, so much of this just seems like a middle school food fight.
Mm-hmm. Is too much being controlled by the media? In terms of are they forming this too much that the candidates are not having enough space to do this, or is it just that it's gotten so visceral and basic that, as you say, that it's been reduced to a food fight, that we're really not getting to the level that we need to be in order to discern the kind of leadership and demand the kind of leadership that America needs right now?
Yeah, they're an easy target. Right, the media is, but I don't know if the media is just giving us what we want to hear and what we're asking for. It was interesting, the people who seem to embrace some of the complexity that we're facing were the ones that fell behind in the polls when we had that gigantic stage of Republican candidates. And Ben Carson, who gave some of the most complex, what I would call higher order answers to questions. He hung in there a little bit longer than I thought he would, but
right. Yeah.
But yeah, this is we're in a tough situation, and I'm hopeful that whoever does get elected, that there is more there than what they're giving us right now.
Well, leadership can be demonstrated in many areas. I mean, I think that sometimes what happens is that people want to hang their hopes on a person. And what our founding fathers said, it's not about a person, it's about the people. You know, and maybe this is a time, Keith, where we need to hang our hopes on we the people, that the pressure is on we the people to become more educated and more aware and wise about the kind of government that we want. I certainly, we know what we don't want. Although, you know, you look and see what's happening on the Democratic side, particularly with socialism and Bernie Sanders, and you go, wow, do we really want that? Or is there been such a leadership void in this area that cannot seem to direct or redirect this energy and this passion for socialistic ideals to get them to realize that capitalism and the free enterprise system and the values that our founding fathers established this great American experiment on, that those are more valuable than, this theoretical process that has not proven any kind of value whatsoever historically?
Bill, that's really well said, and I think we need to focus on serving the people again instead of the people serving the government. So I couldn't agree more. If your listeners want to hear more, have them go to themapthebook.com to look at this developmental model. I think it could inform their thinking on this.
Well, I can't wait to get my hands on your book. I'm looking forward to it and looking forward to more conversation with you, Keith. I appreciate you coming on the show. Dr. Keith Eigel on Bill Martinez Live. It is just about 2 minutes before the top of the hour.
There's nothing more enticing and intoxicating than the finest meat cooking on an open flame. Freeze-dried meat from NewHarvest.com is U.S.-grown, 100% all-natural with no extra fillers. Just grass-fed beef and free-range chicken guaranteed to stay fresh and delicious. Add New Harvest freeze-dried meats to your current food storage. You'll buy direct from the factory, not a third party, ensuring the best price and the highest quality. See all our products at NewHarvestFoods.com. That's NewHarvestFoods.com.
Would you like to receive $250 to $1,000 cash per day? Go to RichMoneyRich.com. No website, no selling, no explaining. Just take these simple two steps and go to RichMoneyRich.com. You can be generating cash in the next 24 hours simply using this system. Good news is, it runs on 100% autopilot, and you don't need any experience to get started. It's easy. Get your share of easy riches and go to RichMoneyRich.com. That's RichMoneyRich.com. Go now. Brought to you by the Conservative Investor. Current returns not indicative of future results.